The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is episode 31 of ParentCast, and we're talking paternal postnatal depression. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to ParentCast. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I am so effing glad to be back.
Me too.
It's been a long time coming, baby.
It has, and for those of you who've been wanting more episodes, season two of ParentCast is coming at you. We are jam-packed with really useful episodes, great interviews, and of course we have a interesting reason as to why it's taken us so long. It's actually the topic of today's episode. But before we get that, Blake has a little reminder for you.
I want to remind you that episode 31 of ParentCast is brought to you by Audible.com. And get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/tallmommedia. That's our company. There are over 150,000 titles. 150K. My love, 150K from which you can choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, and or MP3 player. Today's choice that we have for you that is for free is Outlander by Diana Gabaldon. And that's a little self-serving because we do have a podcast called Outlander Cast. And we want you to read the book or watch the show so you could listen to our other podcast. So again, a little self-serving. But please go to audible.com and check us out.
It's a free book. And for those of you who are parents, you probably don't have a lot of time to read. I don't. So the only way that I get to really ingest and learn about new books is if it's an Audible book.
That's
so
right.
Check it out. Free book for you. audibletrial.com/tallmommedia.
So today's episode is about men's postnatal depression.
Yeah. Or postpartum depression.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. And a lot of people think that's full of crap. And I'm here to tell you that it's not. So my love, are you ready to get into this show and figure out why it's actually a real thing?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. All right, so the whole topic here again today is paternal postnatal depression or male postpartum depression, however you want to talk about it. And the reason why we actually started this off, the second season, with this particular topic is because this is something that I suffered from. And I trust me, I would have been one of the people to raise their hand and say, F you, no way, not true. Men don't have postnatal depression. They don't have the hormones that women have. They don't go through the bodily changes that women do. And, you know, those things are all true.
Yes.
That's all true. But men still do have unique experiences with depression. And a lot of the time, when they're faced with becoming dads for the first time, or in my case, the second time, you know, we don't have the hormones that are being changed, but our role in life is now changed.
Yeah.
Everything that we know is altered. And that can affect you chemically.
Mm-hmm.
It can change things. And this is the reason why we took such a huge break from ParentCast. If you guys are, you know, loyal listeners to Mary and Blake, you know that we have our other podcasts. We've been podcasting this whole entire time. But personally, I was really struck with depression badly, and I'm still battling it. But at least now I'm at a point where I can speak with you, the listener, in good conscience,
yes,
knowing that I'm giving you sound parental, I don't want to say advice, but a sound forum.
Well, I mean, to be honest, we've tried to record this episode.
Ooh, number of times.
A number of times by now. So I know that I've spoken with several of you online on social media, and I've been saying, oh, we're recording tonight. We're recording tonight. And we actually did. We did record, and Blake was just still too much in the thick of it.
I couldn't get through it.
It was. So I've talked openly about how I had postpartum depression, pretty severe postpartum depression, after the birth of our son. And they've actually come out and said that half of all partners who have a partner who went through postpartum depression often become depressed themselves. Half. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, then you have depression in both parents.
Right.
And, you know, we hear about women who've given birth having postpartum depression, but the men too can start to have a lot of the very same symptoms. And women have a large social network. They are able to share these stories. They're able to talk about it, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And if not, maybe they know someone. I know since I've come out and I've been very vocal about my postpartum depression, I have people reach out to me probably on a monthly basis, if not for themselves, but for a friend. But you really don't hear it about males.
Right. Because I think men, listen, for me, I'll tell you, it emasculates you.
I'm going to go on to say not just men. I'm just going to say partners, because I know that we have some same sex couples who listen. But
we are talking about post-paternal depression here. Like that's,
we're going to use that term, but just know that if you are a same-sex couple, that this can also happen to you because your loved one is going through postpartum depression. A lot of these anxiety and guilt and all of these feelings can still happen to you. But just the term that we're using right now exactly is men's postnatal or men postpartum depression. But really, we're saying that
it's for your partner. Yes, I get where you're coming from.
Like, I just want to have that blanket statement.
Yeah. So, you know, I hate to like this whole thing, you know, right off the bat, the beginning of our brand new season, by which, by the way, we are going to do seasons of ParentCast. It's not going to come at you every single week from here to eternity, just because it's a lot for us to do this show, our other shows, and continue to build our podcast empire. So we're going to come in seasons. So I think each season, from now on, will be about 10 to 12 episodes-ish. Yeah. Regardless... Listen, for men, for me at least, the depression thing was something that I didn't want to admit it, that I had depression. And not because I was dumb or because I didn't see the symptoms. They were there and I was feeling them. But admitting that he is depressed, at least in my case, it was emasculating. It's hard to admit that. You know, you're going through your life and you're the man. And like, listen, I say what you will about it, but here it is. The widely held opinion in the world, or at least in the United States, is that the man is the provider for the family. It is what it is. I'm not saying I agree with it, but it is what it is. The man's a provider for the family. He's got to lead the family. He's got to protect the family. He's got to do the things for the family that the family needs. And then all of a sudden, you're hit with the fact that you can't do that. You can't lead. You can't protect. You can't provide the things that need to be provided because internally you are so distraught. And then everything starts falling to the wayside because you start retreating and coming back into yourself. This is all real. And my depression, and trust me, it's taken a lot of effing copays to figure this out.
All the copays.
All the freaking copays on the planet. I must be spending at least $300 on what's it called? Therapists per month. I really believe that my depression started after Mary's postpartum depression because so much was put on me during that time. Which was fine. That was my job. That's what I was there for. I'm there to pick her up when she needs to be picked up. But then our relationship changed coming out of that because Mary needed a lot of attention and she needed a lot of help and doctors and care, concern. I had to lead out. Like, one of the big things I always remember from the couples therapist that we had during this time was I had to lead out. I had to act the way that I wanted her to act. I always had to be careful. And that started playing with how I was internally. And then it started playing with my self-worth. You know, my wife is upset. My wife is depressed. She's unhappy. Why can't I give her that happiness? Why is everything that I'm doing for my wife such a mess? Look at her. She's talking about, you know, hurting herself or not wanting to be with the family it just erupted. And when you have that little demon inside of you that says, yeah, you know what? You're effed up. You're screwed up. You keep doing this. You're the one that's at fault here. Not her, not the kids. It's you. That is a scary, scary, oh my God, it's scary.
And even if you were with a partner who didn't go through postpartum depression, I mean, that's what we think really triggered yours. But unfortunately, I mean, just as they say, the statistics are very high for female, you know, postpartum depression. You know, they even say 1 in 4 new dads can have this depression or even anxiety. And I think it's really important to use that word anxiety as well, because sure. I think that almost they really go hand in hand. And sometimes a lot more people might have the anxiety. So things that can put you at risk for having postpartum or postnatal depression, even as a male, is a lack of good sleep. And you sure do get that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's just be honest here. When you have a new kid and the kid's got to feed every, you know, two, three hours. And then, you know, by the time that they're done feeding, then you got like 2.5 hours. By the time that they're done crying, then you got like 1.5 hours. By the time they actually sit down and sleep, then you get like 1 hour to sleep.
Yeah. I mean,
and then you back up again.
We have Felicity, who is now 14 months old, and we have our 3.5-year-old Reese. And we're still woken up probably twice a night. And granted, we're not getting up out of the beds anymore, but it still is broken night sleep. It's nothing compared to the newborn days the colicky days, but it's tough. So another thing that could put you at risk is changes in hormones. And this actually can happen. There's so much about our bodies as humans that we don't even fully understand. But actually, guys can go through like hormonal differences when you have changes in your lifestyle like this that you really couldn't have figured out. It's not as dramatic as females during pregnancy and after birth, and we still don't fully understand why this can happen, but testosterone levels sometimes drop.
Right.
And estrogen and cortisol go up. So they can, this is why oftentimes guys say that they gained pregnancy weight, like sympathy weight.
Sure.
It's because actually their estrogen and cortisol and prolactin went up and their testosterone went down. They might even actually get nausea.
Yeah, well, I didn't get nausea.
Didn't, but some dads do. And this is just one way that, like, some biologists think that the guy's hormones fluctuate just so that they bond with their baby and they feel like, oh, I went through this pregnancy along together. You actually did gain weight along with me.
Oh, I gained a lot of weight.
So,
I was good the first pregnancy. The second one,
would have been interesting is had we had your hormone levels tested before and after, and then we could have known if that would have been it.
I'd be talking like this.
I know. Hey,
way too much estrogen.
Another thing that could put you at risk is actually if you've had a personal history of depression. Mm-hmm. Now, you never had been classified or diagnosed as having depression. It does run in your family,
yes,
however, and so that is another risk. More risks are poor relationships with your spouse or poor relationships with one or both of your parents.
Ooh.
Relationship stresses
Ooh.
With your partner-in-laws. We're glancing over these really quickly because
you know,
we're just gonna say one of those statements might have totally applied to you.
Wrong one. Sorry. There you go. Every time you say one that has affected me, I'm just gonna hit this
excessive stress about becoming a parent. Okay, that can also include, think about it, the changes, the lifestyle changes, the financial changes. A lot of people are like, I don't know if I'm totally ready for this, especially when that like 8 month comes around. You're like, oh man. This is happening. This is totally happening. Sometimes if you have a non-standard family, such as being unmarried or being a step parent, or maybe this happened to you when you were really young, or maybe just things just are untraditional. So sometimes that helps cause more risk. Poor social functioning. So having a lack of support from others. I talked about it before. Economic problems or limited resources.
Oh.
And a sense of being excluded from the connection between mother and baby. So, you know, in those first like 3 months when you're like, especially if mom's breastfeeding, you're like, I can change the diaper.
Yeah.
But baby doesn't want to be with me that much.
No.
Many, many dads say that, you know, the baby just wants to be around mom. So sometimes just that feeling of like, does the baby even like me? Really right. Can start to wear on you. So, and also, as I said, up to half of the men whose partners have postpartum depression are depressed themselves. So that right away, you are really, really at risk.
And
here's
some other classic symptoms of depression, which is you are in a sad mood, right? There is a loss of interest or pleasure in the things that they normally take a lot of pleasure out of. Significant weight loss or significant weight gain. My stomach, along with my thighs, are saying. Trouble sleeping or oversleeping and just constantly being tired. Yep. Restless feelings and inability to sit still or slow down. I did not have that.
That's me.
Fatigue, loss of energy, we already talked about that. Worthless or guilty feelings. You know what? Actually, you know, here we go.
Bam! Just like that. A winner! That was very strong.
That was the real one for me. Yeah. Impaired concentration and difficulty making decisions. Yes. And recurrent thoughts of death or suicide. I did not have that.
Good.
But I did consider, like, wow, maybe my wife would be better off without me.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I would be dead, but that maybe she'd be better. My kids and my wife would be happier if I were just gone.
So now, mind you, those were classic symptoms of depression overall. And to be diagnosed with depression, a person must be experiencing around 5 or more of those symptoms, including either depressed mood or loss of interest over a 2-week period. So we're not just talking about, oh my God, I had a bad day.
Don't,
no,
I hate that song.
This is like serious, like going on for quite some time. It can really interfere with your social time or your work or even just how your brain functions, as we talked about. So the thing that is general depression,
right?
And then when you come into men's depression, now men and women are very, very different. And so my postpartum depression had a lot of that stuff too. I had a ton of that stuff.
Yep.
But then when you look at symptoms for men's depression, it adds a different kind of tweak to it. I was about to say twerk, and I'm like, no, this isn't twerking.
I mean, I could twerk, but it would not be a good sight.
So, for example, here are some symptoms of men's depression. Mind you, this can still be females, but this is quite frequently when men are depressed, they might actually show some of these signs. They might have increased anger or conflict with others.
Yep.
Increased use of alcohol or other drugs, frustration or irritability. Violent behavior. Maybe they're losing weight without trying. They can isolate from family and friends, be easily stressed. There can be impulsiveness at taking risks, like reckless driving, or maybe they're going to try to have an affair with someone. They can easily feel discouraged. They can increase in complaints about physical problems and actually have ongoing physical symptoms like headaches or digestion problems or just pain.
Oh.
And so many of our so much of our body tries to tell us, hello, you've got something going on in your head and you're not listening. So I'm actually going to just show you in a physical way. And then people go and they go on medicine and they're really not treating the truest source of the problem.
And they're just masking. They're masking the headaches, let's say. They say, okay, you know, I'll just pop some Tylenol or I'll pop whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually your body saying, hey, wake up. What are we doing here?
You're really upset.
Yeah.
There could be problems with concentrating or motivation, loss of interest in work, hobbies, and sex. Or they could be working constantly. Remember we talked about the irritability. There can be misuse of even prescription medication. But like even just that, if you're just like, oh, I just want to keep taking meds to cover up for these things that I'm not feeling good.
Yeah.
There could be concerns from others about how they're functioning at work.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, the fatigue, experiencing conflict about how you think you should be as a man and how you actually are. So a man who's depressed, you know, can experience some of these, can experience very few, while others experience a ton of them. And how bad these symptoms get also varies. Like, you know, some could be violent, some could not be violent. Some could be wanting to drink a ton and some could not. But it could just be that maybe they're being isolated. So what's really important to know is that men's depression, postnatal depression, postpartum depression, or just depression in general, can be treated.
Yeah, right. And it's depression in general, and it's even men's depression, even though guys don't want to admit to the fact, for the most part, that they're depressed. And guys, for the most part, don't want to go see a therapist. They don't. I didn't. Well, therapists are a waste of time, I thought. What am I going to do? I'm going to pay somebody to listen to me to talk about my feelings, as I put those in quotes, air quotes. And what are we talking about? Yes, yes, yes. Listener, yes. Yes, please talk to a therapist if you are a man or you're a partner and you're listening to this and you're like hitting the bell with me as I go down that list. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm easily tired. Yeah, I'm pissed off. Yeah, I don't have any interest in sex. Yeah, okay, blah, blah, blah. Then you got to look at yourself. All right. And that's the hardest part. The hardest part of all of this is looking at yourself and admitting I need help. And my wife or my partner, they can't fix me. And they shouldn't feel like they have to fix you because that's not their job. They're there to support you. Mm-hmm. They're there to help. They're there to encourage. But they're not there to fix.
And it's so hard in general to try to recover and get better from any kind of a mental illness, because that's what it is. And I hate the connotation that mental illnesses have, because what you need to know is that if you were sick, like if someone said you have kidney disease, yep, or you have cancer, okay, you would go and get a doctor and you would change your diet and you would do everything you could. Let's just say cancer's pretty extreme.
Well, let's say you broke your arm.
Exactly. You broke your arm. You know what you'd do? You'd go to a doctor and you'd get a cast. You wouldn't say, I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to suck it up and act like it's not there, because it's just going to get worse.
Unless you're Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And you need to tell yourself that if you have an illness, it is an illness. Just get rid of the word mental, okay? It's an illness. Yeah. You are sick. You are hurting.
And it needs to be treated.
It needs to be treated, and you can try to talk about it. And maybe you're listening to this and you yourself aren't going through this, but you say, gosh, this is my partner. This is my partner. I didn't even think it. Like, things dramatically changed, and I just chalked it up to the fact that, oh, we had kids and things are different now. Because that in and of itself makes things hard.
Oh, well, that's not wrong, by the
it's
way.
Not.
You have kids and things are different.
They are, but if a lot of these are dinging, the bell's dinging for you,
yep,
talk about it. This is now a family issue, okay? It's not, hey, you're mad all the time, what the hell's wrong with you? But someone might actually be sick. Yeah. Someone might actually be ill, and treat them as such. You wouldn't say, what the hell's wrong with you? Your broken arm, I don't care, you should still put away the dishes. No, you wouldn't. Okay? You'd sit down, you'd say, honey, let's go make you better. Okay? Yeah.
Here's some cookies.
So you can talk about it. You can try to take care of yourself, okay, by doing, by eating well, by sleeping well, by exercising, by doing yoga, by meditation. Anything that can help reduce stress should literally, even if you do not think you have depression, as a parent, you need to do that.
Go do yoga.
Lots and lots of yoga. Or even if it's just a meditation track. Blake and I now listen to these sleep tracks that help us sleep at night, because both of us were having difficulty sleeping. And honest to God, this guy puts us to sleep in like 30 seconds. It's
like
amazing.
This Indian dude that just...
Yes, his, Dr. Siddharth.
His voice is like this. And he just speaks absolutely perfectly.
Settle down. And we just settle down and we go to sleep. We don't even know what the heck he says for the next 30 minutes.
This is the time you must prepare for your sleep.
And we do. We do. So find a way to take care of yourself. And it's hard. It's hard to carve out that time, especially with a new baby. We get it, guys. But find that time.
And this is not something that I'm sitting here, I'm pointing down at my ivory tower with you. No, I'm not. I'm not doing that because I'm going through it. I'm literally here. I have tried to record this episode like six times. And each time, I couldn't get through it because it just, I'm like, I'm going to get emotional now. I just get too emotional.
Yeah, well,
it's hot. And we're there. I'm going through it with you. And listen, your partners here, okay, the people that aren't depressed, if you have noticed that your partner is going through this, if the bell's a dinging for you, right, and you don't know how to bring it up to your partner, share it. Share this episode with them. Don't do the hard work. Let us do it for you. And listen, if your partner has actually shared this with you and you're the one that may be considered depressed or is having these symptoms, they're sharing this episode with you not because they hate you, not because they think you're a failure, not because you're a loser, not because you suck at life, but because they love you mm-hmm. and they are your teammate. They're not here to go against you. They're not here to hurt you. This is out of love, and this is something that you need to consider and look at yourself in the mirror and be honest, because how can you be there for the partner that you have? If you're married, you went up there at the podium or wherever you looked, if you knelt, you stood at whatever religion you are, I don't know. I don't know what you do. But for me, I was on a rooftop in the city of Providence, and I looked at my wife and I said, I will love you through good times and bad, sick and health, all that good time stuff that we all talked about. I said those things, and my wife said that to me. And whether or not you actually want to take those vows seriously, they are quite literal. They are there. They're there to help you. And your wife or your partner or your husband or whatever, they love you more than anything, and they're just trying to help. And it's not because you're a loser. You are worthy. You are loved. You are important. You are significant. This person who is either sitting next to you or is in the other room, or as you listen to this, or if you're in the car and you're driving home, this person is the most important part of your life. And they're not going to lead you down the wrong path emotionally.
And know that depression is very, very serious, okay? Especially as men, you're taught to hide your pain. You're told to suck it up. You're told, don't cry.
Especially if you're an Irish Catholic. Oh, my God.
There you go. But it seriously is a real, it's really an illness. It's just like heart disease or getting hurt or, breaking a bone, as we said. So you need to know that it can be treated. But if it's not treated, it can really harm your relationship in your partnership. It can hurt your relationship with your kids, okay? It can hurt your job. It can hurt your finances. So even if you're sitting there and say, I'm not going to go see a therapist. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to call somebody. I'm not going to look into one of these networks or any of this kind of stuff. Don't do it for you. Do it for your family.
Right.
Okay, because it really, really can hurt your partner. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, my husband won't go, then see if you can still go to couples therapy, okay? Because that might be where the doors then open. Maybe they're not ready to go by themselves. Then go with them. If you are religious, go to your church or go to your synagogue, or honestly, go to your child's pediatrician, because your pediatricians are pretty much all well-versed in postpartum depression for right. women, and call them and say, I actually think my partner is suffering. Like, they're going through so many of this, and can we come in? Because depression will hurt your child's development.
Right.
Okay, research shows that if dad especially, dads have a lot of power in a kid's life.
Yep.
A lot of power. And if you're having a lot of negative times, if the father figure is being very depressed or angry or anything like that, it's going to impact the child's.
Yep.
So to find that within you and say, maybe I'm not ready, but I need to do this for someone else.
I remember when it happened for me, when we realized, whoa, something is wrong here. I was actually going to work out. I was going to do a workout, and I was sitting down on the couch, and I was watching Transformers, the movie. I was watching Transformers, and I just started crying. And not because Megan Fox is so hot, or not because Shia LaBeouf is just such a terrible actor, but because I was just overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by everything. I was overwhelmed by my relationship with my wife and how that was being affected. I was overwhelmed by the fact that I had 46,000 things to do in this house and I couldn't get it done. I was overwhelmed by the fact that I had a baby upstairs and I was sitting down next to my son and he's playing and whatever. And I just started crying. That was it. My wife came home and said, "What are you doing? What's wrong?" And I'm literally like shuddering in her arms and I'm crying. And she actually called my therapist and was like, "I think something's up here." And more than what he's actually leading on to with me, you, the therapist, because he's here and he's a blubbering mess. And I remember looking at my son and my son saying, "What's wrong, Daddy? Are you okay? Are you all right?" And when he said that, it just broke my heart even more and I started crying even more. But my point is this. Men's depression, at least in my case, it starts off small and then it eats and it eats and it eats at you and it starts clawing kind of like a raptor at the door in Jurassic Park. You know what I'm talking about at the kitchen door?
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
It just starts clawing at it and then it starts beating at it. And then it's like a vortex. It just keeps going and going and going and going. And then you're in full freaking tornado mode. And then you fall into Dante's ninth level of hell. And then boom, poof, there you are. You're flat in depression. And you don't even know it yet. But you're there. And oh God, it's scary. It's terrible. And it's terrible. And as a partner, someone who is not going through it and watching your spouse go through it, I can speak to myself as it relates to Mary's postpartum depression, but my love, I'd like to know what your feelings were as a partner who's looking at your spouse going through depression. Honestly, I know I'm here and I know it's
a lot of work. You remind yourself about the good times and the bad. And I've told Blake this many a times that we're just in the valley right now. We're climbing up the hill mm-hmm. because I think it's hard enough. It's difficult and to be with someone who is dealing with depression. It's a lot of work and you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make someone smell the roses if they're not ready to smell the roses.
Right.
And in addition, you're now a parent. So some days you might feel like you have more than one kid. Because if someone is depressed so much that they don't want to get out of bed or that they are completely unmotivated or that they are very, very sad or maybe they're angry, you feel like you're walking on eggshells a lot. And it's very, very tiring. And it's been important for me, knowing that I already went through postpartum depression, it's been very important for me to find time and space for myself to stay emotionally healthy while Blake was going through his depression journey and still continues to heal, because it's easy to get caught up in that cycle. It's easy to get caught up in that vortex. And that's why even this, these reports say that if half of the men who are in a partnership with a woman who has postpartum depression, they get it.
It definitely happened to me.
Like, it's literally a domino effect. Like, oh, you love someone who's depressed? Guess what? Now you're depressed. So you have to take a step back and say, I can't control this person. I can help them. I can call their doctor. I can call someone who loves them. If they have a close relationship with their parents, call them. If they have a great best friend, call them and say, we need your help because my partner is sick.
Yep.
My partner is sick and all hands on deck right now. But then you also need to say, make sure I get a babysitter so I can go do something that takes care of me.
Right. Right. You have to watch after yourself too.
Yeah.
And here's another thing I want to bring up too, for those of you who may be listening to this and you may be suffering from depression. Now, this is a little bit further down the road, but let's just say, for the sake of argument, that you actually go to the therapist and yay, awesome, great for you. And yay, you're having the conversations and yay, your spouse is helping you and your best friend has helped you and you're Sisyphus, you're going up the hill, and then you realize, I'm not getting better. You're not getting better, and that's okay.
Yep.
Your therapist may come up to you one day and say, listen, we may have to take some medication here to help you. And I mean, immediately alarms are probably going to go off. You're probably going to sit there and say, no freaking way am I going to take medicine here. I don't want to be taking Zoloft or whatever the hell the prescription is. I'm not taking that crap. Because again, it's one of those things, it's an emasculating thing. You're a man. You can handle this crap. Listen, I've already gone to the therapist. I've already talked to the freaking guy. But your depression may be at such a point that your therapist or your psychologist, whoever you're seeing, they may say you need the medicine because you are too far deep to crawl out so far. And that's okay. And listen, again, this is not something I'm telling you and pointing my finger down at you from the ivory tower. This happened to me. I can tell you this because I went through it. My depression was so deep that I was in a cave. I couldn't even see a freaking light.
He couldn't record a podcast episode, which is literally the top thing that Blake says that makes him happy.
Right. But I mean, besides my wife,
hey,
podcasting right. is the number one thing that makes me happy. Like almost even more than my kids, right? Especially if they don't sleep. If they don't sleep, they really piss me off. Then they're like on like the one thing that really gets me mad. But I couldn't even podcast, right? And my doctor said, listen, you need medicine. I think this is a good idea. And I'm, hell no, no chance. I'm not doing it. And Mary looked at me and said, listen, what the hell do you care? If it's one more thing to help us as a couple, if it's one more thing to help our marriage, why are you choosing to not do it? It's almost like you're not choosing us. You're choosing the depression mm-hmm. instead.
And we want to be making sure because a lot of people feel iffy about drugs like this.
Right. I get
it.
Let
me tell you, it is not for everyone.
No, it's not.
I totally get it. And I had to be on medication for, I think, about 3 months. That's all I needed to get my feet on the ground. And I've now done more alternative things. I do yoga. I do meditations. Yeah. I'm really, really, really deep into finding these things.
You have
that
those
keep
weird,
me...
smelly things that.
Aromatherapy.
Oh, my
Blake.
God. It drives me. It smells like. Patchouli in our house sometimes. It's gross.
Well, it works. All right.
Oh my
it
God.
Works for me. So you might not need it, but Blake was so deep down
right.
that his therapist said, you don't even have a solid ground to stand on. Right.
Right.
Now.
And what the medicine does, it doesn't like instantly turn you happy. And you may not even feel effects. You may not even be like, what the hell is it? It's for me, at least, it's not like I take it all of a sudden, yay, I'm happy. Let's go potty. Let's do 8 balls of cocaine and have fun and,
oh my God, I'm
and
glad.
Go crazy. No, it's not like that. What it does is it puts a floor on how deep you can get. You're still going to get upset. You're still going to have anxiety, but you're not going to be on the floor like me shivering and crying. That's not going to happen because it will say, yes, you can get low, but you can only go this low.
Mm-hmm.
And then any more than that, I'm not letting you. And then once you finally get to that point, then you can at least start to see a light. You can start to see things a little bit more clear. They're not going to be perfect. You're still going to struggle. You're still going to have ups and downs. You're still going to have waves, and you're going to have to ride the wave like crazy. But at least you'll have a floor. Something, you'll have a net, a safety net. And that's what the medicine does. And if your therapist suggests it, and if you guys have considered that and you have the conversation with your spouse that this is a good thing or a bad thing, and you had the talks with your doctor or you had the talks with your therapist about using this stuff, and they've all agreed this is a good option, be open-minded and consider it. I'm not saying you have to do it, but consider it.
And just be open-minded to the diagnosis itself.
And
mental
it's scary.
Illness has a very bad connotation, and we yep. just need to start breaking it.
Yeah, you're not going to be in a straitjacket. You're not going to be getting electric shock therapy.
And you're not going to be like this forever.
No.
That's the most important thing. I think when you are depressed, you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. You don't see a way out. You think, this is my life. Like, I can't believe it. You know, I hate being a parent right now. I hate how sad I am. I can't believe this is what I signed up for.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be like that.
Right.
And getting help and talking to loved ones will start the process towards healing and getting better. Just like, and it's slow. It's slow, just like a broken bone, man. You got to wear a cast for a bit, then you got to wear a little sling, and then you got to be a little tender. Okay? You're not going out to play baseball anytime soon. But you're going to be playing next season.
Yep.
Okay?
And this is why we're in the second season of ParentCast. Hey. Because finally, I'm ready to get on the team and start warming up and be on the field again.
You're in your healing mode now.
I'm here. I'm ready to go.
Sling is off.
We're getting better.
All right. So that is our episode about male postpartum depression.
It is very real. It is very scary. And it is very treatable.
If any of you have any concerns about postnatal depression, whether male or female, I highly recommend that you talk to your doctor. If you have a therapist, then to your therapist or even to your pediatrician. Okay?
And or contact us.
I mean, we're not doctors.
We're not doctors.
By any means.
But let's say you're a spouse and you're seeing your spouse going through this, right? Contact us and say, hey, I think this is what's happening. We're here. I'm not saying I can heal you, but I'm saying I can at least give you my opinion from what I have experienced, and we can give you support.
Yeah.
You're not alone. Whether you are depressed or you are the partner of someone who is depressed, you are not alone. There are people there that'll help you. And at the very least, you can at least contact us and we can help you. At least guide you, maybe, perhaps. Yes. You know, guide you to the right avenues. So that is my suggestion. But really, call your doctor.
Yes.
Because, listen, don't sue us. That's all I'm going to say.
Please.
So, my love, do you want to close out the show? Or do you want to do the whines? Do you want to do...
I don't want to whine.
I don't want to...
I feel like this whole episode was a pretty big whine. So I hope you guys don't mind, but we're skipping the whine.
You want to skip the wins and the parent picks?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to just close out the show?
This is a heavy episode.
And for the rest of the season, we'll have...
My parent pick is that if you or someone you know is honestly suffering in any way, shape, or form, to get help.
Right.
There's postpartum progress, which is a great online resource. And even if you're male, there is like this website, I think it's called Sad Daddy. And it's not completely up to date right now, but it has a lot of resources on that page as well. So those would be my parent picks to get some help.
All right, my love, are you ready to close out this show?
You bet.
All right. Where the hell is my song? I can't. Oh, you know where it is? It's right here. Let's close it out, baby. All right. So, my love, that's it. That's our first episode back. Are you excited?
I am. I'm ready. I'm excited to be back in ParentCast, and I'm excited to have you back, darling.
I know. Me too. I'm glad to be back. Check us out on ParentCast, all of our social media handles. It's all ParentCast, or you can go to ParentCastPodcast.com or email us at ParentCast@gmail.com. My love, you got anything?
That's it. See you guys soon.
Later.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.